This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Ladies and gentlemen, Orange Bloods, welcome back to the Deep Dig podcast here on the Yak. My name is Alex Dunlap. This is episode 35 of the Deep Dig podcast. And this is going to be the breakdown and the kind of thoughts from the defensive side of the football from Texas during the Baylor game and just general thoughts moving into the bye week with Texas being 6-1 and impressively 6-1. And at this point, I haven't done the offense yet, but at this point, this defense played a very productive game and, you know, should be thought of in the same way, you know, the same way that last week the defense, I mean, the defense was horrible. They did everything that they could to lose. Like we talked about, 19 missed tackles. But this week, the defense was great. It was productive. It was one of the most productive games of the season for the Texas defense. And as we go through, you guys know I do not do this podcast after I do my article, because if I did, I would just feel like I would just be talking about what I talk about in the article. So you'll have to sort of bear with me as I go through some of these, formulate some of these ideas as I'm looking through it. But whenever we just look at the disruption caused by, and I want to just pull it up, so it's via sack, hit, or pressure, and also tackle for a loss, because that occurs behind the line of scrimmage, and also, do you know what Texas had three of in this game on defense? Batted passes. P.J. Locke had a batted pass, Chris Nelson had a batted pass, and B.J. Foster had a batted pass. So if I take all of those into consideration versus Baylor, okay, so the sum of all those versus Baylor is 32.5. I would just like to run this experiment live here on air and just see, OU, it was sacks, hits, pressures, TFL, batted passes. 9 versus K-State, it was 9 versus TCU. It was 15 versus USC. It was 19.5 versus Tulsa. It was, hold on, there we go, 12. And versus Maryland, God dang you, computer, it was 21. So, honestly, the Texas got the most, I mean, I guess that Maryland game, it looks like, so Charles Omenihu had 3 quarterback hits in that game. Brecken Hager with 2 QB hits. We also had B.J. Foster, even back then, he had a quarterback hit versus Maryland. So did Gary Johnson. So, and then 3 batted passes in that game as well. It's just so weird that the one loss was the game that they generated the most activity, most activity disrupting and or behind the line of scrimmage for the Texas Longhorns on this day as we head into the bye week. And basically a point in the schedule where Texas is now, what, number 7 in the rankings? It's like a whole new day, man. Like, it feels just like, it's almost like it feels like how this weather just changed, man. It's cold as shit outside. I walked outside this morning. I said, oh, holy shit. Now I realize why today was the first day that I realized that I have a pool in my backyard. And I've never, whenever I was younger, we had a pool at our house. But I never cared about care of the pool. That would always fall under my dad's responsibility. Now I'm the dad and I have to, like, I didn't realize, God damn it, I got to go outside and take care of this thing when it's cold? Jesus. Like, it wasn't even that cold today, but it was kind of drizzly, sort of cold here in Austin, Texas. And I can just see it too, man. Whenever you're, I got to vacuum the pool during the winter, I'm going to have to, because whenever you vacuum it, you, before you put the pool hose into your skimmer, like you pull out your skimmer basket and you put the pool hose down into there to intake the water from the vacuum that you're vacuuming the bottom of the pool with. And what ends up happening is, like, if you don't want to burn out your motor that's on your pool pump, that's like turning all this water around and making it spit through the, you know, the water, whatever the water spouts that, you know, keep the water circulating. Like it goes through a pump, and, you know, it goes through a separate skimmer and all this stuff like that. Right. And then it just recirculates all through the pool, and you're supposed to keep the chemistry right and do all this stuff. And you don't want to blow out that goddamn pump. Because that pump, it's going to cost probably $900 to get that thing replaced with labor, probably. These guys, you know, if you don't know how to replace this stuff yourself, these guys can really bend you over. And so you don't want you want to take every opportunity you can to, like, help your pool pump not to have to overwork itself. And to do so, you got to get that hose whenever you put it in there under where the skimmer goes. You have to get that thing completely underwater and submerged to where it's like it's already sort of full of water whenever it attaches in. So there's not like a break where that pump's just pulling air. And God damn it, even when it's only like 48 or something like that today, I'm huddled up. I'm wearing a hat like over my ears and stuff. And but, like, doing that whole exercise today, even at 48 degrees, dude, sucks. I'm not looking forward to that exercise. At 30, like, it can get cold in Central Texas. This was not planned for. And it's a good segue into the deep dig because, look, this was, what, 6-1? This record wasn't planned for. Who thought about this? And I just read off the stats and that exercise we did at the beginning. What? It was sacks plus hits plus pressures plus tackles for loss plus batted passes in this last game. The best of the season. And when you look at it, now it makes sense because moving up into tier two of the rankings is Charles Omenihu and Brecken Hager. Finally, both those guys, both at now sub 10 snaps per, defensive production caused, like, back in the single digits, like both those guys should be, like both your edge dudes should be in this defense. And with those guys, like, just from a big picture stand, like, all right, so tier one remains Gary Johnson, right? So Gary Johnson on 403 snaps on the season. He's the highest producer. He owns 12.85% of the market share. He's generating production once per every 6.69 snaps, which is by far... He's the leader on the team, even among non-qualifiers. The only qualifier is Anthony Cook that's played 10 snaps. He's at 5.05. But other than that, even these guys that have been big producers on small amount of snaps, like Chris Brown, only 35 snaps for him this season. But he's at 7.61. Like, Gary Johnson over the course of this season has been so productive via these metrics. And he's the clear team leader because his nearest competition as far as market share of the productivity is safety Brandon Jones, 396 snaps on the season, 9.05 snaps per production caused. And when you add in the fact that it's Caden Stearns in this tier two, who's now moved up to where Caden Stearns is now becoming one of the best players on the entire defense, and his production, Ketchum has said for a while now that he's thought that Caden Stearns is the best player on the defense. I'm not, like, there's so many, you know, subjective ways that you could define what the best player is. And you look at Caden Stearns, what's 4 interceptions on the season? Right, 4. And, a big playmaker on the back end. But his snaps per production is at 11.1, which is less than where Brandon Jones is at 9.05. So on a per snap basis, Brandon Jones has been very, I mean, he's, you know, just based on this scoring system, he's been technically more productive than Caden Stearns, just on sort of more organic scoring things like pass breakups and, you know, honestly, for Jones, a lot of just raw tackle volume. But both those guys, super important to the defense. And that this second tier rounds out, so the tier underneath Gary Johnson after this week's latest update to the rankings is Chris Boyd. So it's when you look at the players who are playing well and the players that kind of elevated themselves after this last game, it's easy to understand why the defense played a great game versus Baylor, and that's a tough offense to play. They have some good players. That kid Hurd, he kind of don't like the way he acts and stuff, but he's good. He's going to be good. Denzel Mims. That guy's good. They have some players. So, you know, when you think about the fact that Chris Boyd, for example, like helped himself this week as far as an individual matchup perspective, because he just stayed over there on the left side and they didn't really go after him. I think they targeted him, what, three times? As always, I'll need to go back and do my final, you know, quality control and stuff. But I, from what I see right now, I don't think he allowed a completion again. So Chris Boyd continues to be really good on the back end of the defense there. So it starts to make sense that Texas would have played really well defensively in this game, that they're generating all this production here around the line of scrimmage in this game, because it gives the quarterback, it makes the whole game different when you can produce like this around and behind the line of scrimmage, even in ways that the traditional box scores won't show, with things like, you know, with pressures or hits and stuff. When we look at tier three, Chris Nelson, Anthony Wheeler, Devontae Davis, and BJ Foster, ranging anywhere from Chris Nelson at the top at 6.82% of the market share of defensive productivity on the season, and BJ Foster at 5.48% of the defensive productivity on the season. There's a natural cutoff point at the replacement. Like replacement level is always described as the spot where it's like less than the average of all players who have generated production this season, regardless of snap counts, just whatever. Less than the average percentage market share production. If you're in that category, that is the replacement level, and it generally through the season seems to always make a cutoff right there at around 10 or 11 players, which is clearly to be expected. And so what you do is in this tier three and in this replacement level, look at the guys that have the high snaps per production cause numbers. And when you look at that, it's like it's BJ Foster. BJ Foster, I talked about it. I've talked about a lot of these. I've talked about the Texas personnel a lot. That's what this podcast is about. But I feel like I'm repeating myself when I'm saying that, you know, more volume for BJ Foster as a guy who can really thrive in that dime safety kind of cowboy role that they have him in right now, and who they can really dial up ways to get involved, you know, knifing off the line of scrimmage, or not even that. Sometimes like a defensive end like Charles Omenu, who he'll line up just in a straight head up four technique, and he'll rip like outside of him, out towards the C gap, and like there'll be disguise stuff where they'll delay BJ Foster to come B-gap, and it's generating pressures. You know, if that quarterback sticks in there and doesn't go with his go with his first read. So when you look at the number of pressures in this game for BJ Foster, who was, like, honestly, didn't ESPN have him as, like, the number one prospect in all of Texas and one of the top in the whole entire country? And I know Rivals had him super high, too. But if you look at him in this game, four pressures. You can picture him getting back there and getting these pressures. So, you know, you have to love the way that they're using B.J. Foster. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at it, they played in dime this whole time, basically. Jeffrey McCulloch got in on how many snaps? This week, Jeffrey McCulloch in on only 12% of snaps. So Texas was in dime 80. No, I can't say that because they weren't in dime 88% of the time. They also got into some kind of bear front. I don't know what they call it, but they got into a front where they were, let me look at the participation. Yeah, where they just basically had, they had Charles and Charles, they had, the two nose tackles. It was, yeah. So here it is. Charles, Chris Nelson, Gerald Wilbon, Taquan Graham, and Brecken Hager all in there, along with the two inside linebackers of Gary Johnson and Anthony Wheeler, plus Jeffrey McCulloch, one of the outside linebackers. And so they got into that in a few short yardage situations. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in this last one. All of those circumstances actually coming in the second half, it looks like. So with all that said, there was, what did I say, six of those occasions? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that means there were only, what, 18 snaps that weren't in dime. So when considering this game, well, let's see how many total snaps. We'll go back to total snaps. Was it 74? Yeah. 74 total snaps. So this was a game that was being played basically 76, something like that, 70 whatever percent dime. B.J. Foster is going to get more and more involved. And look, when he goes big, just remember, he was showing up. He was moving up the ranks. Remember, we talked about last week, he was in the replacement level. I said he can't be there long. This is about to start picking up. So B.J. Foster moving up through here. Devontae Davis in this one. Let's just look and see what the coverage looks like for the guys who defend against the opposing passers, like the DBs and the sort by completion percentage. PJ Locke allowing the highest completion percentage. Kobe Boyce, Jones, Davis allowing the fourth highest completion percentage when clearly targeted against. And I say clearly targeted against because I don't get coaches' film to watch on this. I get broadcast film, and I'm not going to ding these guys for something that I can't just look at and say, like, oh, like, and say why he blew his assignment or, you know, and I'm very liberal about it. And with the Burns, it's only, you know, given if there's a clear camera angle and you can just look back and say, oh, yeah, he got burned there. And he gave up that pass for a burn that was a bad one to give up. So Devontae Davis is allowed a completion and or been burned on 55% of times where he's been clearly targeted and leads the team in burns. Chris Boyd, though, has 5 burns on the season. Not so many lately. His game's been picking up. But Chris Boyd right there behind Devontae Davis. However, Chris Boyd, his completion percentage is the lowest of all these guys, down at 42%. B.J. Foster is at 50% whenever a target is coming to his clear responsibility. But still, when a target's coming to his clear responsibility for B.J. Foster, we've had a pass breakup. We've had a interception. Devontae Davis seemed like he was trending towards becoming a player that would, you know, hopefully be up in that tier two. I think he still can be. He's had a few struggles in this last week. I can remember one play that was definitely considered a burn. What I can say for Devontae Davis is he had one tackle for a loss here this week. And then so as far as the other guys, I mean, Anthony Wheeler, I feel like he made a good move up this week. Chris Nelson had a great week. What Chris Nelson here? You look at him. He's generally a guy that's pretty quiet with these stats. He's good at usually racking up the stuffs, but sometimes not much else. But in this game, he also had, like, he got in the defensive backfield a bunch. We credit him with 1.5 tackles for a loss. It was kind of hard to see on some of those kind of gang tackles. You know, we just gave everybody that was in on him sort of credit for half of one. He also had a clear, like, a good quarterback hit, a batted pass. So Chris Nelson getting a little bit more involved in some of those ways. It was just like, as far as the overall performance versus Baylor, it was a good, inspired performance from a group that really seemed like, coming off of that Oklahoma game, they were like, damn, dude, we got away with one. And whenever you have, like, whenever you have the opportunity in football, or just like whenever you have the opportunity, like in anything in life, to kind of pay someone back or kind of get them back or get your boy back for something they did for you, like, you really want to do that. And on a football team, that defense kind of knows that, like, hey, man, we dropped the ball last week. Like, that could have been bad. But the offense, of all people, man, came out and pulled us out. Like, those are our boys. And I think that the defense, like, those guys just, it just seemed like they were playing really good. It was inspired football. And it was kind of like they'd taken on the sense of saying, like, look, this offense, it's Shane in here. Things are a little, you know, things aren't, you know, clicking quite the way they were before with Sam. Like, we really need to pick up our level of play and do it for these dudes like they did it for us last time. So that shows in players like even like Taquan Graham, who hadn't really generated any productivity this whole entire year. We have him as getting in on one tackle, and then getting in on also one of those kind of gang tackle for losses, and then also having two separate run stuffs. And he didn't even play much. Well, Taquan Graham, he played 18 snaps. So his snaps per production in this one was really good. I mean, it wasn't that big a sample, so it didn't move his overall snaps per production, which hadn't been very high on the season, up too much. But I know it goes to show that just the level of play on the defensive side of the football with these guys, and the way that they weren't allowing the, you know, at times, and depending on front, they weren't allowing Baylor to really impose anything on them. There were a few times that they got, you know, a few times whenever Baylor went really heavy and just sort of overwhelmed one side of the line. And look what they did. They combated it with that heavy set that we talked about earlier whenever we came in, and kind of got them off of that. And it was just a really, like, they played really well, and they played physically. They got home off the defensive edges. And when they didn't get home, they were getting quarterback hits. And when they were getting hits, there were guys like BJ Foster that were just kind of maniacally just like running in, like knifing in there and just generating these pressures. It was it's awesome to see. It was an awesome game on defense from the Texas Longhorns. On the offense, I fear it's probably going to, I mean, from what I can tell on the message boards at Orange Bloods. Boy, from what I can tell on those message boards at Orange Bloods, it seems like I'm going to have trouble watching the offensive portion whenever I get to it. But that is for tomorrow. And you know what? If I listen to the message boards at Orange Bloods for everything in my entire life and base my opinions on everything in my entire life about the information gleaned there, I'd probably be in some kind of trouble. The sad fact is that I probably do glean a bunch of impressions from what I read there. But yeah, so as far as the rest of the group here, the replacement level guys, I mean, we can look at the snaps per production caused, and we can see that Jeffrey McCulloch is sub 10. Gerald Wilbon, sub 10. Another guy, sort of like this, like the same, the Taquan Graham corollary, a guy that hadn't really been to his credit, I think that Gerald Wilbon, I know that Gerald Wilbon had been more productive on a personnel basis than Taquan Graham, but a guy who doesn't necessarily pop off much during his limited snaps. Gerald Wilbon was good in this one, from what I remember when I was doing it. So let me look. So Gerald Wilbon. Well, he was like same thing. He was good in the run stuff department that helped generate a lot of these TFLs, and he was also in on one of these TFLs. So Gerald Wilbon, again, another guy who we can look at in this sort of replacement level tier, just the tier that is below the average of the total sum of production. Other than that, you know, Marquez Bemidji, he was in for a few snaps in this one, did not do much. PJ Locke moves from tier three back into the replacement level area. He's at 21.71 snaps per production caused. You know, PJ Locke makes some splash plays, but he's also had a lot of trouble this year with missed tackles and completion percentage when clearly targeted. My name is Alex Dunlap. This is the Deep Dig Podcast here on the Yak, Austin. You can only find it right here. This is the defensive version. The offensive version we'll have to you on Thursday. Until then, we will see you next time on the Yak.